The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Royal Caribbean's Icon class cruise ships are the largest in the world, with a capacity for almost 6,000 guests. And last week, the cruise company took delivery of the second ship of the class, the Star of the Seas. It set off on its maiden voyage from Port Canaveral in Florida on Wednesday. And one of the lucky people on board is Owen Curry, editor of Travel Extra, who joins us now from aboard the Star of the Seas. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning. Looking out of my balcony on the wonderful Caribbean Ocean here, sampling this ship to see what it has to offer that's different from the other cruise ships.
Now, I've looked online at some video of it as it got a pre-delivery inspection. It is absolutely enormous.
Yeah, it's pretty. They get larger with every build. There's a couple of reasons for that I'll go into, but it's just about one third of a kilometre long. And as you say, when you put together the 5,600 passengers, it can be 7,600 at full occupancy, plus the crew, which is 2,350. That's a very large town. That's a town the size of Trim or Kildare Town or Dungarvan, floating around the Caribbean, with all the services that come with that, Pat.
Now, have you been able to tour the ship? I mean, it's so enormous that I would think it, you know, a day or two would not be enough.
There's a lot to do. When you're dealing with 10,000 people, you're dealing with a small town. So you have more than 14 restaurants. You've got bars, entertainment, all of that sort of thing. I've noticed the cruise ship the builders, and Royal Caribbean is the leader of this. They've turned them into effectively theme parks, at floating theme parks. So when you walk along the top deck, you've got funnels and slides and water features. You've got a surf machine that's been there for quite a while. One of the things I did for research purposes was do this ride that you ride out. You're thrown off the side of the ship and allowed to drop, and then, of course, collected by your harness and brought back up again. There's a sort of adrenaline things and a lot of quiet relaxation. The people in pools with the cocktail is really the currency of the Caribbean cruise experience. So there are endless arrays of cocktail bars as you walk from one end of the ship to the other.
Now, looking at the stats, I mean, they talk about the number of bars. There are 20 decks in all. And then they tell you there are 8 neighbourhoods. There's a carousel, there's a casino royale, a conference centre, a fitness centre, a flow rider, a jogging track, a laser tag, the medical centre, there's mini golf, there's pools, there's a rock climbing wall, the royal escape room, the royal theatre, the sports court, the Grove Suite, the sun deck, the overlook pods, I think that's the experience you were talking about, the Pearl, Vitality Spa, Voom powered by Starlink and Whirlpools. My goodness.
A lot, as I say, a theme park. Key to it really is that the cruise industry discovered a long time ago that well-fed passengers, well-fed customers are happy customers. Arrays of food. One of the things that is peculiar to the cruise industry is the amount that people eat when they're given access to 24-hour buffets, because you have large restaurants, small restaurants, speciality restaurants that have to be booked and you pay a little bit extra. Absolutely wonderful fish restaurant called Hoot, which I was in. You can put on a lot of weight. There's some statistic floating around, I don't know how verified it is, that people put an average of half a stone on when they go on a cruise ship, and it's very, very easy to see how that happens.
Now, many people will have the idea of the stereotype of cruise ship, where you have almost like Butlin's entertainment on board, you know, theatrical shows of a rather naff variety. What's on this boat?
The ice show. If you're going to do one show on the Star of the Seas, the ice show is the very, very special one. A lot of the old-fashioned theatrical one, but what the big cruise lines are doing and Royal Caribbean are doing is turn them into Broadway shows. They've taken a hit straight off Broadway, and Back to the Future will be the signature show on Star of the Seas. There is a little bit of a sense of the Mrs. Bucket when you go around to some of the smaller theatres, and you've got the comedians and you've got piano dueling pianos, all of that sort of thing. But people, what what they have worked out, and nobody is better at processing the data than cruise ships, they have worked out that there is, for every type of entertainment they offer, there is a very, very full demand. Anything that isn't working gets moved or gets taken off. There are small tweaks between this ship and the previous ship, Icon of the Seas. And there is another very interesting stat that I got from the press conference. When you measure the onboard spend by nation and stack all the countries that go cruising, Ireland is the second highest for onboard spend. When we go on holiday, we go on holiday.
Who's tops? Americans?
America's top, and we were actually ahead of them a little bit before pre-pandemic. One of the things that I've noticed is that what the pandemic did was reduced the focus, not really the number, because the number of cruise ships is growing. The focus has gone back to the Caribbean, but more than 60%. There's only about 200 cruise ships of note, of size, of scale, or in the world. But more than 60% of them are concentrated in the Caribbean. I sailed out from Port Canaveral on the Space Coast, which is closer to Orlando. Fort Lauderdale and Miami would be big bases as well for this line and other lines. But what we have seen is more concentration on the Caribbean. And one of the other things that they have done is the cruise lines have bought up islands. You know, there are about 4,000 islands in the Bahamas, so you can buy an island fairly quickly, and fitted them out for day calls. So you're one of your day calls is going to be pulling into the likes of Coco Bay, which we did, effectively a theme park with more of the same sort of entertainment that you'd get on board, except you've far more room to do it.
Now, how does it all work in terms of paying for your trip? I mean, is it all in, or is it just bed and breakfast, or what way does it work?
This is important. All the food is free. All the entertainment is free. What then they do is they say, well, that's your food. And the food is very, very good in the big buffet area and the three-story, the three-deck dining rooms that people go to. It's you have a time on your boarding card and it says, this is your time and this is your table. So there's no fuffing around and looking for your table or trying to find out, can you book something? You can then book the speciality restaurants. They're not immensely expensive. They would be up to Michelin star standard, but you're only paying $60 or $70 more. After that, the ride I took would cost something like $250. So there are extras that can run up your bill.
And in terms of the booze, people are going to have a nice glass of something with their meal. Is it reasonably priced or is it extortionate?
It's expensive enough by land standards, but you are looking at $10 or $9 for a bottle of beer. But what another big seller in the Irish market is the drinks package. It gives you access not to the high-end stuff, but to your standard wines and beers and spirits. And it can cost between 80 and 90 a day if people are coming to have a really good time, as some Irish people do. A lot of them buy the drinks package. It's very, very popular. So that will mount up your bill. And your starting price for Star of the Seas, because it's a new ship and because it's premium at the moment, a lot of people trying to get on, is high enough, but you're talking about €1,900 all in, including your flights, to get on one of the early Caribbean sailings. And if you're prepared to book much, much further out, you're looking at about €1,100 or €1,200 for that.
How many days?
The standard is 7 days, and they're shorter turnaround cruises, which are becoming more popular, of 4 and 3 days. But your standard that Irish people would take would be about 7 days. And there are 29 different Royal Caribbean ships. The big difference between the itinerary you choose, and is that the Caribbean will be a lot of beach, a lot of sun, a lot of cocktails. The two Mediterranean, which would be Western Mediterranean and Eastern Mediterranean itineraries, a lot of cities. You unpack once and you're going into a different city every day. It's actually the key to the whole cruise experience is that you have a little cabin that you move around and see different things, and at the end of the week you've seen a lot without unpacking.
It's extraordinary, because at those kind of prices that you've described, you'd pay more for an Airbnb in Dublin.
There's no doubt. The value for money versus land-based is very, very good. And what people complain about really is that when they end up, they pay the entry price. If they take a few of the experiences, if they don't have a drinks package, if they pay for the premium stuff, that rises. So very, you know, you're really not going to get out and back for 1900 euro. But the other thing is the gratuity culture, which is American, which is really important. You have little envelopes left in your stateroom. I call it cabin, and they really don't like that because it's sort of redolent of carry on cruising. But they you will get envelopes for the different staff members looking for gratuity. So you've got to factor that in 10-20% on top of your what you're paying.
Well, Owen Corry, editor of Travel Extra, thank you very much for joining us from aboard the Star of the Seas.
Always a great pleasure, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.